Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Blood and Guts with my long-term friend and co-host, ex-producer, Jack Blood. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Guts. It's Donald's world. We're just living in it.
I'd rather be Donald Duck's world. At least we could see Donald Duck's real intention since he was half naked.
which is how Donald Trump is most of the time.
What a schmuck. Oh, my God. Did you see what happened yesterday at one of his rallies? I guess some protesters were there from Black Lives Matter, and his audience started literally screaming Sig Heil and burn that motherfucker. And they beat this guy. I mean, this man has done more for racial problems in this country, or maybe bringing it to the forefront, than anybody.
Well, he's learned from some of the best. And it's working. It seems to be working. In fact, the more he does of it, the more radical he seems to get, the more people resonate with it, allegedly, and the more the news loves to cover it. So,
right.
He's playing everybody like a fiddle. We'll see what happens at the dance.
Well, I gotta tell you, the more I look at this, I have to say, he has to be working on behalf of Hillary Clinton, because there's no one else on the GOP ticket that stands a chance. And if he does what he's saying he's gonna do, switch over to the independent ticket, for sure he's working for Hillary, because you know that'll just take away votes on the GOP side.
You know, I was just talking about this with the great James Corbett, and he's had this working theory for quite some time. I guess you could punch a few holes in it, because he's very critical of Heil Hitlery, but I think that's maybe part of the play, part of the crisis acting, if we want to call it that. But that's the same theory that James had, and he compared it to the 92 election when, what was it, a Bush versus a Clinton with Ross Perot in the thick of things. And I believe I was just talking to Roger Stone the other day, and I believe he had he had almost alluded to that, though he is Trump's brain. So he's advising Trump, and that I thought was rather revealing.
Right.
Because his advisors, you know, kind of hinting that that's how it's going to go. So would not surprise me one bit, and probably the only shot that Heil Hitlery has in that election. And here we started off the show today, Blood and Guts, with boring politics. I apologize to your listeners. They're way too good for this.
What are we going to talk about, cats? I have to tell you, Jack, that I did get a little sad note yesterday. One of our listeners, believe it or not, from when we were doing KFNX, passed away last month, and her girlfriend let me know. She was with the show since we were on radio and supported my show all these years.
Wow.
So, you know, there are plenty of people out there that want to know what we know, Jack, even though it is the 1%. It's the other 1%. That's what I refer to them as. Our audience is the other 1%, the 1% that cares and is awake.
I've noticed you've been using that on social media. I rather like it, though it's slightly depressing. Yes, it is.
Well, you know, it's that poster I saw. It hit me, and it made so much sense. It said 1% rule the 99%, and 98% don't care. And that hit me like a ton of bricks, because, you know, we've been doing this so long, and I look at my audience and I'm like, well, you know, how is it that it seems to always just kind of stay stagnant all these years, you know? And that poster would just hit me in the face, and it really is the truth. But I also know that it's always taken just 1% to change the world. So we're it.
I've come to the conclusion that it's too late. So I hate to,
Jack.
I hate to be a bummer here during the holidays, but man, I'm looking at these new laser planes, space laser planes they have rolling out, and watching everybody react to this blatant war propaganda that's been circulating about, and then Donald Trump, of course, is in on that. And looking at the fervor of my so-called friends on Facebook to go get those Muslims, and I cannot believe that we've been doing for 15 years telling people that Al-Qaeda is Al-Qaeda, the Mujahideen, and started by the CIA and Zbigniew Brzezinski, and we've done this, and people seem to really understand it. And then I see, going back to the Donald, the Don, the Trumpster, the huckster, on the Alex Jones show, and both of them literally whipping the audience to a fervor to go get those Muslims.
Well,
so,
I think...
and ISIS, just letting all of that go. And I wonder what we've been doing this for all these years, because it seems that all they have to do is put out a few stories and scare people a tiny bit, and the next thing you know, everybody's in. They're all in on it. So
look, those are, you know, birds of a feather, two hucksters hucksting together.
Yeah,
what I liked is as soon as Jones was to, you know, put Trump on a show, the flurry of social media against Alex Jones. That was like the last straw his supposed followers could take. So I was kind of gleeful. I said, wow, how many years did it take for them to figure that out? You know, if somebody's just putting out fear all the time and worth multi-millions of dollars, yeah, I have a hard time believing there's any truth in that.
Yeah, well, he always wanted to be Lush Limbaugh and Glenda Beck. Always, those are my little nicknames. Glenda Beck and Rich. He always wanted to be those guys, or Michael Wiener Savage. And now he has them on his show, and Drudge, and he courts these guys like they are the second coming. So,
now he's out in the open.
Surprise me. Doesn't care about all of the people that built the show. Doesn't care about the people that put their own reputations on the line by promoting him. And I know I don't want to talk about personalities. I'm going to talk about ideas today on the show with you, Maria. So excuse me for wallowing in the pig trough here for a second. But that was always the plan. And you'll find that a lot of people would take that opportunity as soon as it comes and sell everybody out that helped them build this house that they live in all this time. And so I guess that's right. We are the last of the Mohicans.
Right. I mean, I told you that before the show. You and I might be the last one standing when this all shakes out. But listen, you know, for you to say, you know, that it's too late. I mean, looking at 2016 and the choices that we have, you know, Bernie Sanders, who's halfway decent, gets 1 minute to every 80 minutes of coverage Donald Trump gets, regardless of the fact that people seem to really rally around that guy. So if, you know, we're being steered in the direction of the fantasy that is our elections.
Yeah, and there's no coverage. This is why I love talking to Roger Stone the other day. You know, he has a new book out about the Clintons that he has written with Rob Morrow, who I know from Austin, Texas. And he's writing with St. John Hunt, a book that will be coming out here in a few weeks about the Bush crime family.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing his part, and I know that this is, you know, a little bit political, and he's got some reasons why he's doing it, but that does not take away from the information in the book. Yet no one is covering it. No one is really asking him about it. He's not really doing anything on super mainstream media
about
it. And Hillary is not in the news at all, really. In fact, when she is in the news, they just talk about how she's basically already sewn up the nomination before there's been one alleged vote.
Right. Well, it was my understanding, talking to Roger Stone, that he had quit the Trump campaign. He wouldn't give any reasons on the air. But I looked at this morning, I think there were three different Republicans that quit the Republican Party. And that seems to be a mass exodus that's only just beginning. They don't want to be attached to it.
No, Roger's still working with Trump. It was a move to get him away before they could use him against Trump. So that distance makes it a little bit more covert. But I absolutely know he's still in that campaign and working very hard for the Donald for whatever reason. And I think that that is two giant egos in a room.
Right. Like, must be pretty interesting. Right. Must be a pretty interesting little conversation going on there. But you're looking at Trump and he's starting to get repercussions worldwide. You know, against his buildings, against his holdings, against his business deals. People are saying to boycott anything Trump. He's pissed off even one of the princes in Saudi Arabia. So you look at this maniac and you say, imagine if he's president. We might as well, at that point, it probably is time to move out of this country.
Yeah, and you let me know where to go.
I don't know where to go. I'd be there already. Believe me, at this point, I'd be there already. Just several years ago, I used to say, this is my country and I'm not leaving. Well, this is not my country anymore. I don't recognize it. I don't recognize anything about it, Jack. People are insane. And I don't doubt that they're spraying lithium over our heads because everybody is nuts.
Yeah, lithium and aluminum. And what is the other one? Manganese. Manganese is the one that makes you violent. Then all the high-tuned microwave frequencies that are bouncing through your eyeball, you know, this will definitely make people crazy, not to mention the 24-hour social media. You know, people sleep with their texter, and they'll wake up and answer texts in the middle of their sleep, and then if they're not doing that, they're playing violent video games or watching violence on TV. And then there's just the everyday squirm of being packed in like rats into the cities. So
is that all? Well, you know, this is our last show of 2015, and we generally do some predictions. And you've been pretty right for a long time, Jack. So, hey, Jack, I'll call you Madam Zora's son. What, do you have any predictions for 2016?
You know, I'm off of them because things have spun so far out of control that it's impossible really to make predictions now. You would have to go so far out on the limb that you would look like a crazy man. However, this last year of a presidency, the economy always takes a nosedive. There's a massive correction, and I thought they might start that in September. You remember this September we had lost several hundred points in the stock market, and it looked like it was going, but they plunged, protected it back up again to keep it flowing a little bit longer because the profits are a mighty. The profits are coming in, and they're manipulating this thing and playing it like a fiddle in a way that they've never done before. So even the late J.P. Morgan would be jealous with some of the consolidations and centralization and overall phony profits and paper moving that's been going on under our noses here these last 10 years. So, yeah, there'll be a correction, I believe, in the last year of the president. There'll be a lot of major moves, and I guess we can expect at some point, and I'm thinking the first year of the new president's reign, some type of a cyber 9/11, something that I know James Corbett and I have been talking about for many, many years, the Internet Patriot Act already being written. Perhaps people like us being eradicated from the internet, and communicating with people might have to go back to the old shortwave radio or the megaphone and the soapbox, Maria, for us.
Right, or paper newsletters. Remember that?
Yep.
And well, then, Donald Trump wants Bill Gates to shut down the internet.
If he could just give it an inoculation of some kind, if he could just vaccinate it, that's all he wants to do.
I know. I got into a vaccine argument just this morning with somebody because Slate, I don't know if you've ever seen the book Slate puts out. It's mostly propaganda and bullshit and disinformation. Had an article about, you know, unvaccinated kids giving other kids chicken pox. And I said, but if your kid had the vaccine, then obviously that means the vaccine didn't work.
I know, that seems the most obvious retort to that, doesn't it?
I mean, isn't that easy to get?
The other side of it is it's your child that's vaccinating and oozing out the very virus that we're supposed to be inoculated against is infecting my child. And I had a real close call with my boy because him being the only one of two kids in his entire school not being vaccinated with the waiver, and he got really sick from some of the vaccinated kids, at least I'm blamed. And you know what? They were all looking at us saying, well, if he was vaccinated, this wouldn't have happened. And
bull crap.
I just disagree with actually, there's a story out today in the London Times, children that have been harmed by vaccines. That's right, folks. There's an actual record of this. Deaths and harm from the vaccines. Anyway, they're now facing cuts in compensation. So compensating them, taking care of them after the damage that has been done, not going to be the responsibility of Big Pharma now, the drug makers, the vaccine manufacturers. So now they don't have to tell you what's going on. They're not accountable at all for the government. They don't have any kind of serious regulations that you would think the alleged FDA would put on them, the Monsanto FDA. Mm-hmm. And to make matters worse, when you are injured or you die from one of the vaccines, which happens again and again and again and again, there's lots of recalls. Oops, sorry, we killed everybody. There's no compensation for you. So,
exactly. And people need to go over to vaccineliberationarmy.com for facts and figures, and also to see how much money the government has paid out to children that were injured with vaccines. Now, I'm not sure about the chickenpox vaccine, because I had the chickenpox when I was a kid. It was normal to have those things. It was called building your immune system. But when you go for a flu shot, and there's a lot of adults I know that go for shots, and they tell you not to be around pregnant women or little children for the first 24 hours because it's live, which means you're carrying that disease through the neighborhood, on the lines in the grocery store, wherever you happen to be. So I'm sure that's how your son caught whatever he had.
Yeah, well, he got sick, got the croup, and then we almost, and it only cost me, I think, about $10,000-$12,000 to take care of that. So it was a win-win for everybody, Maria.
Except you and your son. But, you know, my son had the croup when he was a baby. And, you know, I put him under a little tent with a humidifier. And when he started, you know, having a problem breathing, I just fully clothed, threw him in the shower with me and steamed his lungs out. And that was it. Cost me nothing.
Yeah.
You should have called me, Grandma. Call me. I know all things.
Yeah, we had tried stuff like that, and it was, we actually do stuff like that too, so, but it was at a dangerous point, so we had to go. And then the first hospital, of course, the wrong, misdiagnosed him, almost made things worse, and they had the gall to charge us, what was it, $8,000, and then we had to actually take him to a second hospital where they immediately gave him some antibiotics, I think, or anti-inflammatory, and he was fine in like an hour. So
crazy. Well, I think, you know, if doctors don't do the job, they don't deserve to get paid. That's my thought.
Wouldn't that be nice?
You should be able to get a refund because they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah. No, when I broke my leg, they wanted to charge me $50,000 for a surgery. And I refused.
Said, I'll keep the broken leg.
Put a cast on that and I'll see you later. And wow, I never did need the surgery. That's odd.
Well, how often are you seeing those stories of doctors operating on people, treating them for cancer, back surgeries that they did not need?
Yeah, get a second opinion, folks.
Get a second and a third opinion. And I always tell people, do your homework. Okay, do your homework. When I walk into a doctor's office, which is rare, he just looks at me and basically says, what do you need a second opinion on, Maria? Because he knows I already looked it up. And he knows I'm going to give him a heartache if he starts prescribing any of his crap.
Yeah.
All I want is for him to, you know, give me a second opinion so I could treat it naturally. Because, you know, I throw his prescriptions at him. I said, don't even bother writing them. And that's the relationship we have, and he kind of gets it. Anyway, this morning I saw there was a big warning. They were shutting down all the schools in L.A. because of a bomb threat or terrorist threat. And right before the show, I saw that they traced that call to Germany.
I saw that the story as well, and New York was also threatened. I'm not sure if they pinpointed it to a specific person or group in Germany. It's amazing. They shut down the entire, this is the second largest school district in Los Angeles. New York officials got the same threat and quickly concluded that it was a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
So remember now when we were in school, or maybe, you know, I don't know, I'm sure that you went through this. I know some of your listeners did. They would constantly threaten us with Russians nuking us, and they would have us practice getting under the desk in case the nukes came, which is a great way to indoctrinate the children. So, you know, if you keep this keeps happening and children keep, you know, growing up with this threat of almighty ISIS, then they're going to learn to want to do anything to stop that and to beg for protection. And I believe that's probably what this is. Look how easy it is to shut down the entire school district. Are you telling me that anybody that writes a letter can shut down the LA school district or a giant city like that? Mm. So there's something kind of fishy about this. And
of course,
also the fact that New York didn't fall for it. But,
well, it takes a lot to rattle a New Yorker. Okay. Yeah. If they see a dead body in the street, they step over it and keep going. Okay. It's like, oh, okay, this is normal. Let me keep going. I mean, I grew up there. I know what it's like. It's a very interesting attitude is the best. It takes a lot for them to get rattled.
Well, they're working overtime, and we should all understand that this is a very special time of year. So during the holidays is when the most executive orders are written.
Of course, every year.
The media is on vacation. They won't cover it. Now, when you add that to all the other distractions and the new public shootings and whatever Donald Trump might be mumbling today, then people just never really see this. Now, at the end of the year, they've already have all these laws written both in the House and at the White House and the judiciary, wherever these laws are coming up. Every year on January 1st, thousands and thousands of new laws and regulations take place, which can cost this country, you know, tens of billions of dollars a year in compliance. So this is why the price of food is out of control. The cost always getting passed down to us. These are the regressive policies that we all constantly love and support. Also, at the end of the year, you're in your fourth fiscal quarter. So you're closing out the fiscal year. Everybody is now applying for budgets for 2016. If you don't spend all your money, you don't get that amount or more, which you'll generally get the next year. So you, of course, have to have a casus belli. You have to have a reason to apply and to get more money. And that's why at the end of the year, you see a lot more violence in the streets and more reasons for the police and the Department of Homeland Security to protect us. So all of that is going on, not to mention a huge issues. We just lost two major allies in Central and South America, in Argentina and Venezuela, just in the last 2 weeks through these fixed votes. These are bloodless coups that have nearly finished off the project of the American Union, the free trade area of the Americas, David Rockefeller's bucket list project. And that's not getting reported. The whole COP 21, I love how they call this COP 21, this giant climate conference they had in France wrapped up with all kinds of new details for a global climate governance, which so many people were calling for. So this isn't even a dog whistle anymore, Maria. This is just right out in the open. Yet again, hardly anybody is reporting on that. So they'll give you all the distractions and trying again to provide Christmas and holidays and to, you know, make your family happy and all of the things you have to do, right? And it involve and consume your life force and your time at this time of year is the perfect time for the bloodsuckers at Global Corp to stick it to you a little bit more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't forget, they rolled out the Federal Reserve Christmas when everybody had gone home after, you know.
And the IRS,
and the NDAA. Let's not forget that. That rolled out right, you know, on a Friday, right in the Christmas week. You know, Happy New Year, everybody. And people are still, like I said, we started the show 98%. And yeah, you may have sounded a little negative, but I have to tell you, I had somebody try to hand me my head on a stick too for basically saying the same thing. It's too late. It's too late. I just said it matter-of-factly. It's too late. It's too late for everything. The environment, everything. It's too late. We're past the tipping point, which I've talked about for 35 years. So it's like, you know what? I try to tell people for decades since I was young, okay? Nobody wanted to hear it, and now they want some magic formula that's just going to fix everything. Well, if people can't see that Everything is burning down. You remember in our predictions last year, when you asked me, I said, I see this country on fire from one end to the other. Well, I wasn't wrong.
Right. Well, the American Spring, most likely another prediction for 2016, because that is all loading up now, especially with the variant groups and special interest groups all being pointed at each other. This is about to get really hot here. And, you know, I remember back in the day when I first started doing this, maybe, you know, 2003 or something. I've been doing this for a couple of years, and I would bring on people like Mike Rupert or Al Martin, and they would say something very similar. Look, it's too late. Just, you know, save yourselves and try to, you know, get people with you if you can. And then we had some positive things that seemed to happen. And I just, you know, this is my remaining paradigm. And I actually got called out on this by a friend here out in the woods not too long ago, that I still hold out, and I know you don't like this word, and you shouldn't, it, hope. I still believe that the people will wake up enough to stand up. And so you look around and you see these examples, and people will say, well, look, you know, this was a win, and this is good, and some stuff is good. Sure, but the overwhelming majority is still falling for this in droves. So it's not because the people at Global Corp, the New World Order, what have you, it's not because they're taking bigger bites and they're becoming more sophisticated in their mechanisms of control, this panopticon. It is because the people are just so freaking gullible. It burns me. That's the thing that I lose that paradigm. That's where that paradigm is being crushed for me to even care much anymore, because people don't seem to care about saving themselves very much. They either just want to be entertained or shocked or scared or just submit and ask permission for everything they do.
Well, no argument out of me. Look, I think hope is useless. It's like wishing, okay? You got to have some action, and I'm not saying any action. You know, I'm looking at this country, which is unrecognizable to me. The cops out of control, never getting, you know, convicted, you know, 99.9% of the time. They murder with impunity, never get convicted. You know, babies being killed, children being killed. Where are the parents, okay? Because I got to tell you, law or no law, when I look at some of these videos online at the way these cops are executing worse than ISIS, Americans in the street, if that was my child, that cop would be dead one way or the other. And it wouldn't matter to me if I went to prison. It wouldn't matter to me if they killed me. Okay, but I'm watching Americans that used to be so tough just sitting back and taking it, shitting their pants, woe is me, crying in their beer, what can we do, what can we do? And I think it was the last show I did, I don't remember, maybe with Jim Fetzer, where I talked to him about, I watched this movie about the crash in 29. And as they were talking about the situation going on in America at that time, they might as well have been talking about 2015.
Yeah, they're sticking to the same playbook.
Not just economically, but we are pre-Nazi Germany. Remember when we used to talk about how we're getting there? Well, we're there.
Well, the Weimar Republic, and I've been hearing people say that for a long time. So now I guess all we need is a guy with funny hair or a funny mustache to, you know, bring fascism back to America.
Well, how many people are comparing Trump to Hitler? They were screaming Sieg Heil at his event last night in a good way. Okay, so, you know, I got to tell you this, and I've had this conversation with so many people, Jack. I'm sure I've had it with you before. If there truly was a God, okay, and this is the best he could do, wouldn't you think that you would have just wiped out this planet a long time ago and just chalked it up to one big foobar?
Yeah, well, I guess this is the tribulation, so this will test men's souls these times, as they used to say.
I don't know about testing their souls. I think it's taking people's souls. And I think all these soul suckers that pass themselves off as alternative media, mass media, et cetera, are all soul-sucking vampires. And what they don't understand is, on a spiritual level, they're responsible for every soul they turn the wrong direction. So good luck to them when they're off this planet. I hope to visit them in an interplanetary zoo.
And let me say something. I might have given up hope. I've crushed my final paradigm. I'm sure, you know, what we're saying isn't that motivating to people. But that's not to say that we shouldn't still, in our community, stand up for ourselves and stand with our neighbors if we can find them, because I've seen how that does really work. We're not going to be able to convince all of our friends across social media to believe what we believe. We're not going to get them to stand up for themselves, and we're obviously not going to defeat the military, security, and information industrial complex tomorrow. We're not going to, I guess, you know, apparently got no help in this endeavor. We're not going to, you know, take our money back. All of the things that we could be doing that could be very easy, I don't see a lot of those things happening. But what we can do is give them hell in our own cities and towns, and that's what I think they're probably most afraid of. And when people catch the fever, when it becomes fashionable again to do that, then we'll maybe talk again about, you know, what we can do in the game in the longer term. But right now, if you're on this play, sorry for the football analogies, folks, for this quarter, you know, what we need to do is stand up for ourselves. So when the rents are getting so high that you have to, you know, move to a shanty part of the town just so you can get in, or when you're on some kind of a list because your credit score isn't good enough, or when they jack up your utilities a little bit more, or when they, you know, rate, I have a 10% tax on food. Yes, I'm complaining about that again, folks, here in the city of Seattle. So, you know, when these things get to be too burdensome and the people explode and stand up, then, of course, there's a rollback. So you have to keep incrementally stopping their incrementalism, or pretty soon, you know, you're not even going to have that option. So I'm a big believer in what we can do locally. I just think, you know, nationally, internationally, you know, we're just so far gone. We have so it's such a big project, and so many people are unwilling to get their hands dirty and roll up their sleeves, that we might as well just, you know, every man for himself, every town for itself, you know?
Well, you know, back in the day, you know, back in the wild 60s, we had an expression that still holds true, Jack. It was think globally, but act locally. So I agree with you. On a small local community level, you can affect change. Your vote may actually still be counted. But you have to be out there. You have to talk to people. I talk to people wherever I am. I will find any reason whatsoever to talk to them, even if I start out with a compliment or a complaint. But once I start talking to them, they're my prisoner. And it amazes me, because you know Arizona, and you know the mindset here, Jack. But it amazes me that in this little cowboy town filled with a lot of crazy Mormon people, these people seem to be more aware of the world news than anybody ever met in a city.
Well, everybody is now, and that's once again a little bit distracting. So what are you going to do about what happened in France? Okay, it's shocking. There are headlines. It definitely, you'll get a reaction from your friends or family or whoever you're sharing that with. But what does that really mean to your, you know, real existence? So yeah, I mean, think globally all you want, but you have to act locally. If there's no resistance, see, this is what they depend on here, our local municipalities. They depend on people being so busy, so distracted, or so, you know, ingrained in that adage, you can't fight the idiom, you can't fight the city hall, right? But you can. I've done it. I've seen it.
I've done it, too.
Sometimes one person can go down and stop a law from going through because they just count on you doing absolutely nothing. So I've always said 1,000 people in any state can completely change the state. That's a huge block of people working together that can do a lot of things, and we have done those things in the past in other cities I've lived in, so I've seen it can happen. It's getting harder to do, and it's getting harder, really. I mean, it's just getting super hard to get people involved in a project that might save them and their family. They'd rather sit and spend all day on social media copying headlines from around the world. So, folks, come on, man. We need you.
All right. Absolutely. Jack, we're going to go to a short break. When we get back, of course, we'll continue this, but I wanted to talk to you about Paris, San Bernardino, which, of course, to me, stinks of Boston's bombing. So stay with us, Jack, and I'll be right back.
Wow. One solid hour of commercial-free information thanks to you. The person who wants truth has the integrity and understanding to support it with your donation and subscription. Maria believes people can handle the truth and delivers it tirelessly with those with ears to listen. 14 years on the net. Won't you take a moment right now to commit to a subscription of your choice at www.maria.net. That's M-E-R-I-A.net. Over 1,100 hours of pure education all in one place, 24/7 and all downloadable. Knowledge is power. Sharing that knowledge is wisdom. Together we can change the world and create real hope. Now let's get back to the Maria Heller Show.
Okay, welcome back to Blood and Guts, and I hope you don't think Jack and I are being Debbie Downer and Donald Downer today. We're just realists. Okay, we've been in this fight for a long time. You know, I've been in this fight, you know, longer than I can remember, Jack, and it's cost me everything. You know, even some of my friends, they're like, oh my God, how can you keep doing this year after year? They beg me to stop, okay? And I'm like, what else can I do, though? This is what I have to do. You know, I feel like I'm on a mission, not like the Blues Brothers, but I just feel like who else is going to do it? If you and I walk away, you know, years ago, I remember one of my listeners, and it was probably when Bush was president, said that they'll know when all hope is gone when I stop doing my show. Talk about putting a little pressure on me, right? Because like everybody else, I want to think that there's basically good in the world and we can fix this. But after so many years of banging your head against the wall, it gets very difficult. And looking at America now, you know, I remember a conversation I had right after we invaded Iraq with a World War II veteran. It was at a party, and I said to him, what do you think about this invasion of Iraq? And he was really disgusted. He was a really old guy. And I said to him, I'm ashamed of my country. And he said to me, don't be ashamed of your country, be ashamed of your leaders. But I can tell you from that day to this day, looking at my country, I'm ashamed of my country. Looking at the racism, the hatred, the violence, the rapes, the crushing down on civil rights. Today is National Bill of Rights Day. Most people don't even know what their Bill of Rights is and don't even have it anymore.
Well, no, they want us all to give up our rights to save us from, you know, the terrorists or the 1% or whatever it is. It's funny. It's the old Brer Rabbit. Please don't throw me in the briar patch. And, of course, that's exactly what we do. I was going to quote Lester Bangs. I've been reading a book. I don't know if you remember the great reviewer, rock reviewer, rebel from Cream and Rolling Stone magazine from the 60s and 70s. He died in 1982. And one of the things he was writing in his review is, you know, power doesn't go to the people. Power comes from the people. So you are surrendering your power, and you don't sit and wait for someone to give that back to you. You have to take it back, or you have to stop giving it. And this is your permission. And again, voting with your money, your life force. I mean, these are things that really the globalists, the people at Global Corp count on. They just count on you being so confused and stupid that you go and support them even while you might be out. This doesn't make you a hypocrite. It's sometimes it's hard. There's not a lot of resources out there. No Logo, right? I'm sure you've read that book by Naomi Klein. You know, they're not educated. So, and the word consumer just has such a bad ring to it and such a bad rap when that's your power. So we have all of this power. We don't really even need to take it back. We just need to stop giving it to them. We just need to say no. You know, over the holidays, a lot of people are going to try to have conversations with their loved ones. This happened to me on Thanksgiving.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it reminded me of that Saturday Night Live skits with Rachel Dratch. I think they call it Debbie Downer. Wah, wah.
I know.
And she used to, when they first started that skit, she used to, you know, talk about personal things. In the end, they made it where she was trying to talk about political things, and it was just bringing everybody down. They don't want that on Christmas dinner day or on Thanksgiving. Oh, let's not, we only get together once a year, and if we do, let's not have any kind of serious conversations. Let's just keep it light here. We don't want to ruin anyone's, you know, Thanksgiving. And I got in trouble. People, you know what I do in my family, so they try to talk to me, and then I tell them what I think, and then they get upset. But it's true. And most of them, like everyone else, loves Obama because what he did for the gays and what he's done. What else did he do? What he's done for the gays, and I guess what he's done for minorities. I'm trying to think. I think that those are the ones. And, you know, if I tell you, but Obama funds the warlords in Uganda who kill homosexuals on sight.
Right.
You don't like that. You don't want to hear that. Wah, wah.
My son calls me Debbie Downer, and he does that, too. He even writes that on some of my posts. He'll go, wah, wah. But I've got to tell you this, Jack. And I'm sure you know, or maybe you don't, but my listeners certainly do. I stopped doing all holidays years ago. Okay, it was after interviewing Matthew Deleuze out of the UK on how all these holidays are not only pagan, but they feed the reptilian overlords. Okay, now some people believe those things, some people don't. For me, I just said, you know what? It's always stress. It's always an expense. Who needs it? Okay, I didn't want to play the games anymore. But I will tell you that this Thanksgiving took forever, Jack, 43 years. This Thanksgiving I spent with my daughter, who now is 100% into what I talk about. And she said, Mom, your whole life I thought you were crazy. And now I understand that you were right about everything. And I understand why you're the way you are. And I heard the exact same thing from my older sister that I've been badgering forever. Okay, so if you do it long enough, you know, we used to have an expression in New York, if you throw enough shit against the wall, some of it's going to stick.
No, I have thankfully I have a sister like that too, who's really tuned in, and she'll be telling me stuff about chemtrails. I go, yeah, that is a good movie. I'm in it, by the way. You should go check it out again. and that's fine. I realize that we can't, again, change people's minds because they are being indoctrinated, 24/7. And the Bernaysians are very good at what they do. They don't sleep. There's always somebody at the switch, and they plan and they plot and they have lots of resources. So obviously we have our work cut out against us. It's the funny thing, because if you're like us and you say something that is true that maybe people don't know and need to know, and nobody hears it, you're literally the tree that fell in the woods that no one heard. It just never happened. But if a lot of people do hear it, then they kill you. So
right.
That's kind of where we're at. Either we're not successful and no one's hearing the messages that we're putting out here. And by the way, the solutions I think we provide, which most of us just seem to agree on now, at least in part, for the framework anyway, or you reach a lot of people and you get killed.
I know. It's damned if you do and damned if you don't. But when I post stories, sometimes people say, how about some solutions? And my answer is always the same. I've been giving out solutions on my show for 20 years. You don't listen to my show. So, what do you want me to do? You want me to give you a private audience? But everybody,
they want you to organize and get all the people together and do everything, and then they'll go stand
there. Right. Those days are over. Those days are over. I've already done that. Okay. I am now officially on Social Security, Jack. So I have already done that. I have done that for 35 years. Okay. So when I talk to young kids today, I tell them, it's your turn. It's time for your generation to get your asses in gear, or you're going to be living in Hunger Games.
Well, ain't that the truth? Yeah, it is a young person's game, at least as far as direct action is concerned. And I know a lot of people doing it. In fact, some of our friends held that mock fake school shooting in Austin, Texas. They had people crisis acting all over the place. It was pretty imaginative, right? But very artistic, and I love stuff like that. And it calls attention to both our ability to protect ourselves and not wait for the government to come
save us when they're the enemy,
which is important.
I'm sure you've noticed, Jack, that's my new tagline, is no lives matter to our governments.
Right.
And people just don't get it.
all of our lives matter. Let's not pick and choose, but I don't want to break that down because I'll definitely offend some people
you
there.
You got to go by no lives matter. You look at the World Trade Center, look at Pearl Harbor, look at San Bernardino, Boston, Sandy Hook. Nobody's lives matter. These people are on their own agenda. And when people say our government wouldn't kill Americans, they forgot about Kent State. They forgot about the eugenics program against the blacks, the poor. I'm like, you know, what planet are you living in? And then I read this morning that Texas's new school books are going to list Moses as one of the founding fathers. I mean, we live in a country of idiots, and I can't believe how easy they are to sway. So the only thing I can assume, and I do post that once in a while, it's a combination, Jack. It's a combination of deadly chemtrails, Wi-Fi poisoning 24 hours a day with everybody with their phones to their ears, vaccines, genetically modified food, economic pressure. Nobody's blaming terrorism on economic pressure, especially domestic terrorism. So when you put it all together, it's like a perfect chemical soup for destroying people's brains and thinking ability.
Yeah, well, and that's why, you know, I think since the last time I was on, I interviewed the White House chef, Sir Ronnie Seaton, whose mom has a famous, amazing restaurant down in New Orleans. There's, you know, lines around the block. This guy was knighted by the Queen of England at the dinner table. That's how good his food was. And you know what he told me? He just confirmed what I already knew. This White House, famous White House chef, appointed by Reagan and went all the way through to Obama, just retired, okay? Mm-hmm. So about 20, 30 years, this guy was cooking the food in the White House. And he said, number one, never eat anything out of a can. If you do, make sure to wash it really good, because that's where Alzheimer's is coming from. I mean, I was shocked.
Aluminum, right.
And basically confirm what we all know. The aluminum and the heavy metals are causing this, what they call Alzheimer's or dementia, because it's a neurotoxin. It eats at your brain, and this is why all of a sudden we have an epidemic of it. And then he began to tell me, well, he also told me how hell Hitler attacked Bill at the dinner table once. That was kind of funny. And then he told me how they only eat organic and you know, real clean food, as I call it, referencing Fight Club, that they grow their own food at the White House in a locked and covered greenhouse that has all the best attention that nobody can touch or get into, right? So many people will say, well, they don't want to be poisoned. That's the point. We don't want to be poisoned either, America.
Well, I understand Monsanto's kitchen is the same way for their executives. They eat nothing but organic food. They don't eat their shit.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And when I tell people that and they give me, oh, but that's expensive, I say, well, lose the meat, which is so filthy, and you'll be able to afford an extra buck to buy a head of broccoli. Okay? How expensive is cancer? How expensive is diabetes? How expensive is heart disease? The American diet is responsible for pretty much every disease in this country.
Okay, but you have to remember that a slave is only good in the field to a certain time, right? So when they're in their 50s, they're just not that useful anymore. Okay, maybe they can go clean up, sweep up the warehouse up until the time they're 60. So what I believe Global Corp is trying to do is make sure they don't have to take care of us when we're old. We won't be old because we'll be either in an institution somewhere like a vegetable, or we'll be dead. And this is why the bad food is targeted to the poorest slaves. The poorest of us are forced to buy the giant packs of chicken because it's cheaper and you got to feed your whole family and your kids aren't going to eat the lettuce or whatever. So they put people in this precarious position. I know we were going to talk about news, so this is kind of organically flowing as it usually does here on Blood and Guts, people really are in a pickle because you can't. So how do you get the organic food more affordable? You know, you have to take off a lot of the regulations. You have to take off the tax. You have to allow free market competition for the giant Global Corp companies to put out the pretend organic food, right, at Whole Foods or whatever it is.
All right.
And you know, you have to get out of the way of it, and you have to make sure that the demand can be rewarded. You know, we can pay the farmer the same thing that he gets now, if not more, if we take off some of these handcuffs and restrictions and keep continually cutting in multiple middlemen. You know, maybe your meat would be cheaper if you want meat. There was a story today that that lettuce causes more global warming than bacon, and that you vegetarians are the ones responsible for global warming. I love this. And so it gives me another excuse to eat bacon, right? But ultimately, you know, prices are high on food only because, in many ways, because of the tax regulations, the derivative speculation, right? So people are out speculating on the food, on pork bellies or the price of a head of lettuce or wheat. And this is like $182 billion a year a market, just wheat alone, the number one staple, I guess, of the world. Actually, now the carbon derivatives have surpassed that, believe it or not, the fiat phony made-up carbon derivatives that Al Gore started and his friends. So there's a lot of reasons why we need to get paid more. You know, this goes to the same thing with the minimum wage. If we're not paying withholding tax and tax on our food and tax on this and renters tax and all the things that they're getting us on, then we don't need the $15 an hour. We can make it on $10 an hour. Not thrive, but at least we can survive. So you find that a lot of the reasons, like organic food might be overpriced, is because they're trying to keep it that way, number one, so the poor people eat the bad food and don't live as long, and number two, because there's just too many people getting cut in.
Right. Well, what do you think about Putin saying he wants to be the number one exporter in the world on organic food and kicking out Monsanto and any genetically modified food from Russia? And Russia was supposed to be beneath us, below us, the enemy, and all that stuff. And yet they lead in producing organic food, just like Cuba. Cuba's been producing their own organic food since our embargo.
Well, like I say, they're growing organic food at the White House, and we do produce a good amount of it here. Putin, to me, by the way, is like the Trump of the world. and he says the same thing. Look, I'll be in your New World Order, and I'll you know, follow the rules or whatever, and I'll do whatever everyone else is doing if you treat me fair. So it's like Donald Trump saying, I'll stay in the Republican Party and I won't run as a third party candidate if the Republican Party treats me fair. I mean, that's an oxymoron if I ever heard one. So, you know, Putin says a lot of things, and there's certainly a lot of propaganda to make him look, you know, like he's some kind of a good guy and a hero. This is a KGB guy that's killed many people. They attack their own children in a false flag event blamed on Chechnya in Breslin years ago. Also, that movie theater attack in Moscow also looked to be a false flag by the government.
Right.
And he has pledged his fealty many times to the New World Order. So it's just he wants a better deal. He's the Trump of the world.
Well, I've been calling them staged events now. Because just because they're stage events doesn't mean people aren't getting killed, because they don't really care if they had to kill us all. That's my thought. Now, when I looked at the San Bernardino and the three eyewitnesses that have basically been told to shut up and not speak to the media and change their story, they all said it was three muscular white men that were the shooters. And the first thought in my head was Kraft International and Boston.
Yeah, me too. They would be a good suspect in this, though. Look, Boston... How I kind of figured out Boston, and look, there was a lot of evidence they left laying around, almost like they wanted us to know what really happened there. But when you look at the Wisconsin shooting, I keep coming back to that because every single witness in that Sikh temple in Wisconsin said that it was a team of four guys. It was a black ops operation, and not just the one guy who, by the way, you could trace back to the Army Wade Page, the Psychological Warfare Division of the Army. So, I mean, you know, he had infiltrated the white supremacist movement. He'd been at, many people believe he'd been at Columbine. So that guy was suspicious on his own. But no, there wasn't one witness that said it was just one guy. They all said it was a team of guys. I think they've been doing this consistently and constantly in many of these and finding somebody to hold the bag, a patsy that's either believes in a cause and is in the right place at the right time with a rifle or something. Or what have you, somebody that they can leave kind of like Lee Harvey Oswald, a little bit of a breadcrumb trail to justify them being the perpetrator. But you're right. And when we're talking about what happened in San Bernardino, we have another major problem. No video again. There's never any pictures or any video. You would think, as much as they want to propagandize us, war propagandize us for ISIS, against ISIS, then you would think they'd want to show us that.
Right.
They would want us to see that. And the excuse always is, well, it's too horrible to see. They don't mind showing you the phony ISIS beheading videos, right? So in none of these cases do we see any video. And I'm finding it very hard to find one witness that says that Farouk and his wife, the Bonnie and Clyde with a baby, actually did this.
Right. Even their lawyers don't buy the story. They compared it to Sandy Hook. I mean, it's so obvious to so many people, and yet so many people still want to, let's go to war against all Muslims. People are just stupid.
It did have some Sandy Hook elements in that. I was listening to the police scanner as it was happening in San Bernardino, and they were chasing shadows all over the place, the cops. They were in a bunch of different directions. There were just weird coincidental things happening with other perpetrators all over the place. I remember listening to the police scanner in Sandy Hook, and they were chasing some suspects down another street, which we never heard about again. And I think generally the police are just ignorant to a lot of this and easily manipulated and used in a situation like this. And, if we're talking about this San Bernardino, just remember this. That the people that these perpetrators, these ISIS caliphate wannabes, allegedly shot were people that just not long before that threw a baby shower for them. None of this makes sense.
Right,
it just doesn't make sense on any level. So, am I calling it a false flag, man? I need the prior knowledge. I need the stand down. Remember, they had SWAT was having a drill at the very same time.
Right.
That didn't help them. How did these people just get away when they're in the neighborhood? SWAT's all dressed up and ready to go. Again, this is a little bit like Oklahoma City when the BATF was texted and warned not to go to work that day. And then they're all standing there ready to go. So, but I haven't seen it. Look, it's your story, not you, but in general. The media, it's the government's official story. I think they at least have some responsibility to back it up.
Well, now they don't even bother because people have become immune to it, so they don't even do the digging anymore. Jack, we're out of time. I can't believe how fast this hour went, but I guess I'll talk to you next year if we're all still here. And between now and then, we'll see what laws they pass and what they roll out for us for a happy holiday.
We'll be here. I just let your listeners know we're going to be making an announcement. We've found a little home. We were homeless for a couple of weeks for the radio show. We'll be on only weekly now, 2 hours a week, because I can't afford anymore to do the 5-day-a-week show. Wasn't supported. People didn't vote with their money. But we've got some ferocious shows. You can find some of the new ones on our show reel, all that information at Radio Free Blood on Facebook. Just put Radio Free Blood in your Facebook over there, and you'll get our archives. You'll see what we're up to, and DeadlineLive.info for our big announcement on the new network we're going to be on. Huge guest. Once a week show means it's going to be packed for 2 hours.
That'd be great. All right, Jack. I don't know if I lost you. Did I lose you?
No, I think the audience lost me in that little bent of self-promotion there.
No, I heard the ghost in the machine. And that happens sometimes on my phone, and I think I lost my guest because it happens, and it seems to happen more and more frequently. Jack, thanks so much. You and your family enjoy the holidays if you celebrate it, and I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you next year.
Well, as John and Lennon used to say, every Christmas, happy Christmas. War is over if you want it. Stay
absolutely
bold.
You too, Jack. Take care. Jack Blood, check his work out, radiofreeblood.com. There's a live link right here. Tomorrow, catch me at 2 p.m. Mountain Time on Richie Allen's show, if for some reason his listeners love me. So I'll see you guys then. Thanks for supporting the show to those who do tirelessly year after year. I know each and every one of you by name. And you know what? We're here for who we are here for. And that's how you comfort yourself. And I love you guys. I will see, you'll see me on Richie's show tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.